Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out all about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have with us the brand spanking new Commander-in-Chief, but they think they call him the President of Winthrop University, Dr. Edward Serna, who managed to get across the street, and now he's wondering, what have I gotten myself into? How you doing, Dr. Serna?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you today?
Well, I'll let you know by the end of this broadcast. How's that?
You got a deal.
So you've been here, what, all of a week, 2 weeks?
All of 2 weeks.
2 weeks. They really held you hostage until July 1st, didn't they?
They really did.
We're talking about his former employer. So tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
Sure. Well, I came to Winthrop University back in 2002 as a non-traditional student, and I fell in love with the place. I spent a year here. I finished my bachelor's degree, and then I spent the next 10 years working in industry. I worked for business. I worked for NASA. I had a great business career, and then about 10 years ago, I decided I wanted to make a life change, and I wanted to give back to higher education. So I started to pursue a career in higher education administration, moved my family from Alabama to Arkansas, and then from Arkansas to Maine, and here we are back in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Well, let's go back here. What were those discussions like? What did your wife say when you said, I'm quitting NASA and I want to change my life? Did she say, what?
She was very supportive, Hammond. She was very supportive. I think anytime you make a big career life decision like that and you're like, I want to move to Fort Smith, Arkansas, it's a series of conversations. I'll just put it that way. But she was supportive. Yeah.
My next show will be with your wife to find out what the truth really is. So what did you do with NASA?
So I worked for a consulting firm called Booz Allen Hamilton, and this was right after the Columbia disaster.
Oh, my.
So it was called the return to flight period. So for about 2 years, NASA looked at all their business processes and everything that they were doing, and we helped them through that process. So it was really about getting the space shuttles back in the air.
Wow. Yep. Well, we're finally glad to see that happening again after long, long absence. So here you are. Most people who are in the private sector have no idea what it's like to go through the hiring process in academia. Most of us, you know, we'll go to an employer, we'll have an application, we'll have an interview, and we might meet with HR, and either in or you're out. That's not the way it works in academia, is it?
No, sir. It is not.
It is a process with a capital P.
Yes.
And what did you think of the process?
Well, I'll tell you, I've gone through it before. This is my third presidency. It is not a process that you enter lightly. You have to really want the job to go through that process because universities are so complex and we do serve so many different constituencies. You know, you come through and you meet with all these individuals and make sure that your vision for the institution is consistent with what the constituents want to see. But it is, it's a long process. It goes over several weeks with a lot of different interviews with a lot of different folks.
I mean, to satisfy that many constituencies, I would think the odds are stacked against you from the time you walk in.
I did hear after the fact that they had 150 applicants for the presidency at Winthrop University.
Ooh.
How intimidating is that?
They didn't tell you that beforehand.
No. That would have scared me off.
I'm sure one of the things that had to be discussed is longevity.
Yes.
Because Winthrop's had a rocky almost 10 years in terms of who's really running the show here after Tony DiGiorgio retired. That discussion came up for you?
Well, I'll tell you, it came up even before I had put in my application. As an alumni, I was invited by the Alumni Council to participate in a listening session with alumni for what traits we were looking for in a new president. At that point, I I wasn't thinking of applying for the job, but I'm like, I'm a sitting university president. I'm a Winthrop alumni. I have some thoughts on this. So I went to that session, and you're right. Everyone in that session said, listen, we want somebody who's going to commit to the long term for this. And I agreed. We need continuity and leadership at this campus to really drive that vision that the trustees have laid out for us.
Do you feel, because of what's happened the last 9 to 10 years, that Winthrop's gotten a little bit off a track in terms of where you would expect it to be versus where it actually is?
I think it's inevitable when you have the leadership turnover that Winthrop's had. I've seen it at other institutions. It's not unique to Winthrop. I think there's a tendency to say, well, we'll wait till the next president comes in and we hear what their vision is. So it's bound to happen. And I think that's my commitment to Winthrop, is I'm here for the long term. This is my dream job. I'm excited to be here. And my wife's already told me that she wants me to stay here longer than President DiGiorgio. So I don't know if I'm going to – I have 25 years of fight in me, but I'm willing to make a run at it. So, yeah, we're here for the long term.
Well, good. And I'm sure you've noticed how Rock Hill has changed since you departed. Just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing, though. What a vibrant, active community. We went to the Red, White, and Boom over the weekend. What a great event that was.
Well, you haven't seen anything yet. I was talking to you before we went on the air, asking you if you'd had time to stroll down to the Indoor Sports and Events Center, which is just a block or two away from Winthrop, because if there ever was a time to stroll in there, this is it. They've got this Adidas 3SB basketball tournament underway, and every high school basketball player who has promise for college or maybe even the NBA, male, female, they are here. And all their parents, there's thousands of people here. I mean, it's thousands of people here. And what a great opportunity to showcase Winthrop.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, it was really encouraging. Some of those games were being held at the West Center on our campus this weekend. And just to walk around campus and see the families out walking around our campus with out-of-state tags. Yeah, great opportunity to showcase what an amazing institution Winthrop is.
All right, so you've had all of 2 weeks now, and I'm sure that you have analyzed all the issues. He smiles. I could probably say, okay, what's wrong and what's right? Let's not go that route. But what do you see as maybe your number one, two challenge that you have that you need to really focus in on?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I want to start doing is a lot of good work's been done at Winthrop the last 2 years. I mean, it has been a difficult period for all of public higher education. And really, kudos to the Board of Trustees, to President Hind, and to the entire campus. We are in pretty good shape coming out of what has been a difficult 2 years. I will say that there are a lot of initiatives that were developed, a lot of hard work that's been done. I'm ready to just start moving forward on a lot of that good work. I want to come out of the gate and start building some momentum, start accelerating. I want to see new academic programs. I want to see new partnerships, both within higher education, with K-12, and with business and industry. I mean, I really want the community to know that Winthrop's open for business. We're ready to go.
Well, when you say open for business, that's going to be, I think that'll be good news for everybody, because I think over the last, you know, period of time, and this is my observation, not the university's by any means, I just think that the university's become somewhat disengaged from the community, from a lot of different perspectives. And I understand why. I think because of all this rolling train of leadership, and I think you're right here in the heart of downtown Rock Hill. This is a great opportunity.
It is. And I think you lead by example. And I intend to be out in the community, talking to business, talking to community organizations, and building those relationships.
And it's interesting that just Friday, I had a guy here on Straight Talk that you might have met. I think his name is Simrel. yeah, Gary's his first name, state representative until about 3 or 4 weeks from now or whatever it is. And you've made him the special assistant to the president for community engagement. And I gather that's what we're talking about.
So first off, can we just talk about what a great guy Gary is?
Like, oh, please.
He really is. I've met with him twice. He is just a great guy. I think value-wise, and both as alumni, I think we're passionate about Winthrop. He has obviously done some just amazing work for Winthrop and for Rock Hill and the state legislature. Just a fantastic guy. So I'm really excited to be working with Gary.
Well, I would say that was probably one of your greatest, best decisions so far, because he will do a great job. I mean, he's been down there in the legislature for 30 years. I can remember when He first came on Straight Talk. He was a single guy knocking on doors and trying to get people's vote. It's very interesting, and he's been down there 30 years now.
It's amazing.
Did you realize he met his wife while he was campaigning? He knocked on the door.
I did not. That's get a great story.
Get him to tell you that story. Yeah, it's a very good story. It's a very interesting story. So, obviously, that's a big business over there. Yes. I mean, it's a huge business.
Yes.
And your revenue is derived from a number of different sources.
Yes.
What used to be a lot from the state of South Carolina is not so much. You still get some, a bunch, but not anywhere near what you did used to get percentage-wise. And you've got tuition revenue that comes in. COVID kind of threw everything off track. You lost a lot of students, as every university and college did. How do you get them back? Especially now that you've taught a lot of people we can learn online. Oh, how boring.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, I think there's this discussion, this narrative around the value of higher education. And I really have felt that we have not done a great job of telling our story and why higher education and why university experience is so important. And I know there are a lot of students who, especially in the last 2 years, their high school experience hasn't even been the same as it has been. And now we're expecting them to make this really big decision about coming to a university. And I think there's a hesitancy there. We don't know what's happening with the pandemic. Is it really over? I just think we need to go out and we need to engage these students. And we need to talk about the value of a university education, about why it's important to be on campus, and to have all those experiences both in and out of the classroom. Not everyone can learn online. That model works for some people, but not for everyone. And there's a lot more to your education than just taking the courses. We know that.
You know, my dad used to tell me, he said, you know, Manning, he said, a college education is designed for one thing. I said, okay, Dad, what's that? To teach you to stand up on your own 2 feet and think for yourself.
There you go. That's it.
And the older I get, the more wisdom that becomes to me. I mean, it's true.
It is.
It's all about connections and getting to know people. And if you're trying to get an education 100% off of a screen, you don't develop any of those relationships. You don't find out how other people think and how they act and what they like to eat. What else? All that kind of stuff.
You know, it's amazing because we'll hear from employers, you know, we need graduates with those soft skills. Well, that's how you build those soft skills. Is all those experiences on the campus. And again, we just have to be a little more precise, a little more intentional in our messaging on that.
So part and parcel of this challenge is the fact that we've had a declining birth rate
mm-hmm.
here in this country. And everybody is pulling out all kinds of stops to try to get what mass of students is there over to their university, which means you got to be more proactive on it. You just can't sit here and wait for it to happen. True?
True.
Okay.
Very true.
That's a great question.
But I'm going to go a step further with that. I think one of the things that happens when there's scarcity of any resource is that it increases competition. And what I've seen over the last few years with this demographic shift that you're discussing is that universities and community colleges are more and more inward focused, right? Mm-hmm. More and more about, I've got to protect my students, instead of looking externally for partnerships. And I really believe this doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. If Winthrop University can go out and partner with the other comprehensive universities and the research universities and the community colleges in a way, I think we're all better off for it. We don't have to compete. We can partner where it makes sense. And that, I really believe that elevates all of us. I think that elevates the experience for our students. And I think that elevates the state of South Carolina. I just think we have to look at it more holistically and less transactionally around what's best for our institutions.
I always remember a fellow by the name of Paul Harvey. You mm-hmm. probably remember that name. And 20 years ago, in front of a whole large auditorium of broadcasters, thousands of them, he made a comment that your greatest competitors today will be your partners tomorrow, or you won't survive. Now, fast forward, he's absolutely right.
Yep.
If you think what's happened to the world over the last 20, 25 years, and it was just an announcement here this past week, was it not, that Winthrop and York Technical College have put together a program whereby credits are automatically transferring from one institution to the other, so it's a seamless way. After 2 years at technical school, if they want to go on, they can come right on to Winthrop and boom, finish it up.
Absolutely. You know, I think if you look at it, especially from an economic development perspective, if the universities in South Carolina collaborate and partner together, we will be more competitive with other states' university systems. That means that we'll attract more students and we'll retain more students to work here in South Carolina, which will help us attract business and industry.
And we've got some great schools here in South Carolina.
We have some great schools.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take our mid-program break. That you have a chance to gain your thoughts here as we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, the good doctor's all teed up. We do fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. There's a magical formula that keeps drawing people in here, drawing them in by the droves. And we're going to tell everybody what it is for those who don't know. At the count of three, are you ready, doctor? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
There we go. Not bad. Not bad.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, this is a great show today.
Well, we try to make them good every day, kind of like what you do, Charlie.
That's right. We try to make the best sandwiches and salads every day here at Substation 2.
And that's why we tell everybody, slice, 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 garden, 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 garden.
Always fresh, always delicious.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax. With a mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union, you'll get low rates, up to 90% financing, and pay no private mortgage insurance. And for a limited time only, receive our discounted interest rate without paying the 1% discount point fee. Apply now at foundersfcu.com/mortgage. Founders is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal housing lender. Additional terms and conditions apply. Not all loan types are eligible for promotional interest rates. Promotion ends on July 31st, 2022. Institution MLS ID number 410646.
Let's ask the young Alex Ruffalo why he thinks people keep coming back to eat at Substation 2.
Because they can see for themselves how everything on their sandwich or salad is sliced fresh right in front of their eyes. That's why we say slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
For lunch or dinner, make it Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Dr. Edward Cerna, the new brand spanking new Winthrop University president. I call him the commander-in-chief, the go-to guy, the man who's going to put Winthrop back on the map. It's still on the map. I don't want to overstate this, but we've had some change of guard over the last 9.5, 10 years. It's just the stability thing hasn't been there. You got that. You're committed yourself to longevity. Your wife has committed you to even more longevity. You see this guy back here behind you? Hey, Ben, say hello to the new president.
Welcome. Hey, thanks, Ben.
He works over there at Winthrop University.
Yeah, I just, good to see you.
I'll introduce you to everybody. Right?
Oh, perfect.
All right, so as we were walking around the campus, I know one of the things that Tony DiGiorgio, did you ever know DiGiorgio? You must have known him when you were here as a student.
You know, I never met him personally, but I was here when he was president.
He was very fastidious in terms of how things appeared and the look and the presence and the campus look and what have you. And I'm just curious, you know, as you've walked around campus, you see things that need to be done. And I'm sure that is on your list of things that need to be dressed up, because let's face it, whether you like it or not, if somebody's going to visit the campus, you want the campus to look as best it can.
Yes.
And I will tell you, there is a new campus master plan to start looking at where we're going to invest and what we're going to do. And just around the landscaping and different efforts, you know, we definitely need to clean that campus up a little bit. And there's some work to do. And we hired a new AVP of facilities who's already started that process in the last year. So, yeah, a lot of work to do, but a lot of good work's been done.
And I heard Gary Simrell say here on the show Friday that he was successful in putting some dollars into the new budget that's been approved, that's going to allow you to do stuff with some of the buildings over here.
How fantastic is that? Again, yeah. Gary's just a great guy. Yeah.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Athletics. Everybody has been just wondering what's going to be happening with athletics. You now have a new athletic director. Did you have any say-so in that, the hiring of him?
I did not. That decision was made before I got here. But I will tell you, when I came down here to interview, Chuck Ray was one of the individuals that picked me up at the Charlotte Airport and drove me over here. Like Chuck, I think Chuck's a great guy. I think he's got vision, and really excited about having that first meeting with him later this week.
Once again, you know, the whole landscape in college athletics is changing. It's making it, I think, even more challenging for schools the size of Winthrop to compete with trying to get premier athletes in here. I mean, now they're handing out checks to these. I mean, it's just I don't know what's going on with the NCAA's mind, but why don't we just call it pro athletics at the college level? I mean, really, a college education is not good enough? Now we have to pay them money?
Yeah, the whole NIL has really changed the game up. I don't know until I talk to Chuck later this week really where we're at on things. I know there's a lot of work to be done in athletics. I'm sure of it. So it'll be an interesting first conversation with Chuck.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I have not met him yet. I believe he's scheduled to come on here maybe next week.
Good.
Looking forward to that. But, you know, he's got a lot of slots to fill in order to get up to full speed, and then he's got to deal with all these other issues, including, I guess, finding a replacement for himself for volleyball, right? So now, what are your impressions of what you have seen so far outside of the campus at Winthrop? I mean, have you had a chance to talk to anybody or walk in anywhere and have a beer or do anything?
We have. We've had some really good food around town. We've been out experiencing some of the dining. I said we were out at Red, White, and Boom over this past weekend. had a good time. Well, I wouldn't put that on there, but yeah.
Okay.
But we've had some really good, you know, we've been out in the community and just really trying to experience it, and it's been really nice. It's amazing the work that's been done here. The economic development work, the new shopping, the new dining, it's fantastic. What a vibrant community.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I can't even begin to say how many new opportunities are out there in the community, from restauranting into, you know, sports venues. I mean, there's just a ton going on here.
It's amazing. And like I said, I really want Winthrop tied into that. I want Winthrop to be at that table, be part of that conversation. I think we have a lot to offer. I want that vibrancy on campus too.
So really it's a question about messaging and communication and getting out there and getting involved. So what do you think you would like to get involved with if you have an opportunity to do something outside of the university? Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, I have been. My last presidencies, I was active in the community in different nonprofit organizations, Chamber of Commerce, economic development boards. That's where my passion is. If there is a new company looking to come to Rock Hill, I want Winthrop to be there. I want to be at the table. I want them to come to our campus and see what we offer.
Well, but it would be an easy sell once you get them on the campus. Any
Absolutely.
Question about that?
Absolutely.
So in terms of, you talked about at the beginning of the program, new types of course offerings. What is it that is not there now that you would like to see put in place as a way to attract even more people to take advantage of what Winthrop has to offer?
Sure. Again, I'm a data guy. So I think you look at the data, you look at employment data. So where is student demand? What are employers looking for? And then I think we need to look at our academic portfolio, if you will, and see where those gaps are. So things that I'm passionate about, technology, cybersecurity. I'd like to see our cybersecurity program really become a crown jewel for the university. I think that's a great growth area. We know that's going to continue to be a growth area. Our esports teams, I think that's another just area that kids are really interested in. I think we need to expand the esports program. I would love to work out some, we're talking about partnerships. Nursing, we know that's a huge employment area. If there is a way through partnerships that we could expand into that area. I would also tell you engineering. That is technically, you know, traditionally not been our area. But if there was some sort of a partnership we could bring in to have electrical or mechanical or both in engineering programs, at least a pipeline, I think those are all areas that we need to look at.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have this rather tiny little business here in Rock Hill called Comporium. I'm just teasing. They're a large business. And when you start talking about technology,
yeah,
they're the ones you need to have a conversation with if you already haven't had one.
Haven't yet.
And not yet. Well, they've also been a big supporter of Winthrop over the years, so I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time talking to them about that. So on the other side of the coin, are there just courses, let's say, that I had to take when I was in college that just aren't germane anymore? I mean, I shudder. I won't tell you some of the ones that I took, but we did not get through school without taking traditional classes.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
I'm just thinking about Beowulf.
Sure.
I mean, what role does Beowulf have in today's world? Seriously.
So I will tell you, over the last 2 years, that the provost went through an academic master plan, and I have not had the opportunity yet to really delve into that and see where the recommendations are of, you know, how do we keep our curriculum relevant and fresh and of interest to the students. And I think that's something I really need to look at.
So you rely upon that to who? I mean, who helps you with all that process?
Oh,
I mean, I don't know how you're structured at Winthrop.
Sure.
I mean, do you have somebody who handles curriculum and they say, this is what we think we ought to do?
That'll be the chief academic officer, the provost.
The yes. provost.
So they'll bring that forward.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's when you take, all right. I just had one other thing to escape me, and I just blew it out of my head. So what do you want people to know about Edward Serna as you begin to take on these responsibilities at Winthrop?
Sure.
That we haven't come out in this interview.
Well, I hope that one of the things that's come through today is you know, I'm going to be very authentic. I am who I am. I love this university. I want to see it thrive. I'm passionate about what we do. I want to be engaged in the community. And my wife, Lauren, who, by the way, it is our 13th wedding anniversary today. I wanted to get that in.
Nice going.
Thank you, sir. Nice. Thank you. I was just looking for a window.
And I did not have to remind him because I knew nothing about it. Nice going.
Thank you. So my wife, Lauren, will also be very active in the community and different organizations. So we're just excited to be here. We're going to be cheerleaders for Winthrop and
cheerleaders for Rock Hill.
And Rock Hill.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Well, Doc, that wraps up our 30 minutes together. Went by very quickly. I appreciate it. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you, sir.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Greaves Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGreaves.com. Now, just to show you how popular this place is, we have renowned people like State Representative Randy Ligon, who's going to come in. Now, hold on. We're on the air. We're on live now. Watch what you're saying. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Why does everybody come here? 1, 2, 3.
Slice. Garden.
Pretty weak, but we'll get you back to redeem yourself. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.